From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the third day of October 2017. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Todd Hubbs, a grain market specialist here on campus, will help us review what happened in last week's USDA grain stocks report and the impact it may have on the world agricultural supply and demand estimates. We'll hear from Harry Cooney at GrowMark about the agricultural energies, update the USDA's weekly crop progress report, and check in on the weather forecast too. Don Day will be here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, as we close out this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is Public Radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, to take a look at what happened in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, hi, good afternoon, Todd. I think the evening sort of took off on what FC Stone did when they put out their numbers. And they increased their bean yield to 49.9 and also 169.9 on the corn. And that just sort of put a little bit of a downward cast on things, because we're coming up to the government's numbers that all of us thought were too high to begin with.
Indeed, we did. And the numbers, do you have the state breakdowns from the FC Stone numbers as well?
I haven't got them in front of me.
I have them in front of me just in case you didn't. So they're putting corn production in the state of Illinois at 185. And yeah, we are at what, 189, I believe, is what USDA had the last one at. Soybeans at 58 for Illinois. They've got soybeans in Iowa at 57. And yield there at 185. Yield for corn in Minnesota at 188. That's the number four producing state. And Nebraska is at 178 for corn. So those are some of the FC Stone numbers. We get those numbers from USDA, what, next week sometime?
Thursday, the 12th.
Yeah, and we'll be looking forward to having those. So they put a little damper on the trade, I guess, today, didn't they?
Well, yeah, I mean, basically, FC Stone has generally been one that's seemed to be just a little bit doubtful of the numbers that the government was putting out there. And when they go on up to their numbers, why, that along with the yields we continue to hear being pretty good everywhere, just sort of kept things from rallying last night. I think the other thing that is really becoming a problem is the low river levels and the basis levels, you know, not just here in central Illinois or central Indiana, but as you go down the river, you know, the Memphis area, we're talking 50 to 60 under for this time of year, which is highly unheard of. They're 60, 70 cents better for the January bid when they hope that there'll be water running down the river and they can ship two barges instead of three to get the same amount of grain down the river.
Yeah, so they've just had the infrastructure still allowing barges to move. They just have to add more barges and take the same amount of grain, and that's adding a lot of transportation cost. Hopefully we'll be able to correct that at some point. I don't know whether we'll get enough rain in this next set or the next two sets or not. What are we hearing about the weather forecast?
Well, you know, there's from central Nebraska through eastern Minnesota into northwest Wisconsin, and we hope that, you know, that some of that can sure help the Mississippi a little bit that way. But I think as we get in through to Illinois and especially over to Indiana here, why, the chances drop off pretty rapidly, especially at the Illinois-Indiana line. You know, the ground is very dry over here. We've got guys that had to work the ground, go over it twice with a disc or field cultivator before they could get the drill to go in to drill wheat here just this week. So that's how dry it is. No tiles running over here.
Tell me about the beginnings of harvest in your part of the world. Are crops coming in and sounding to the producers as if they're in pretty good condition and yields are good?
You know, we have centered mainly on beans here. There's a few guys. We're pretty well wrapped up except for the double crop beans over here. The beans were, very good for the weather we had. A lot of mid-60 bushel beans, and everybody had spots through the field or a field or something that maybe went in the upper 70s. So, you know, all in all, the bean yields have been tremendously good for the weather we've had. Very little corn, but what little corn we have heard, and just talked to a few farmers that switched over to corn today as they finished their beans, it's doing a lot better than they thought, and most all of it is doing, 210 plus over here that way, some saying higher than that. But, we're just started on that. There's not enough samples to really say, what we're thinking about. But surprisingly enough, these hybrids have really kicked out the bushels this year.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us. Look forward to talking with you again next week.
Thanks, Todd.
And of course, is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana. Last week's grain stocks report should reduce ending stocks for both corn and soybeans this month. USDA's quarterly grain stocks estimate suggests there are fewer bushels of corn and soybeans left over from last year than have been reported so far. University of Illinois commodity grain market specialist Todd Hubbs says corn is off by 56 million bushels and soybeans are down 44 million.
I'd say one thing out of the stocks reports is just the idea that corn and soybean consumption starting to move. It's getting stronger as we move through the year, it feels like, especially in some areas that maybe we didn't see before, like feed. For the soybean ending stocks, they adjusted 2016 production, which wasn't really a shocker, but still, it sort of changed the balance sheet.
Having said that, Hubbs admits the 2016-17 projected carryouts for corn and soybeans remain very large. It is possible to roll forward the September grain stocks report to forward figure the October USDA supply and demand table, or at least some of the adjustment. When you do that, it shows corn carryout at a possible 2.295 billion bushels, and soybean ending stocks at maybe 301 million. It's a matter then, says Hubbs, of laying off the heavy supply side against growing consumption, which for the moment is hampered by low river water levels that have been causing transportation problems to the Gulf of Mexico.
The strong demand and the strong consumption we've been seeing is a good sign as we move through the next marketing year if we can keep it up. But right now we're suffering under these supply and transportation issues.
It's not to say a bullish market is around the corner, but that demand should provide a series of marketing opportunities over the coming months. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 68% of the corn crop is mature. The rolling five-year average there is 78%. 17% of the crop has been harvested, and it's normally 26% harvested by this time of year. 80% of the soybeans have dropped leaves. The rolling five-year average, 78%. 22% of the crop is in the bin. The rolling five-year average for harvest for soybeans is 26%. 36% of the winter wheat has now been planted. The rolling five-year average there is 43%. 12% of that crop has emerged. The five-year average is 16%. Now here are updates from statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, and Iowa.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. Rainfall during the week slowed down harvest, allowing Iowa farmers 5.1 days suitable for field work for the week ending October 1, 2017. Although there were wet field conditions in parts of the state, activities for the week included harvesting corn for grain and soybeans, seeding cover crops, and finishing the last cutting of hay. Topsoil moisture levels rated 43% short to very short, 56% adequate, and 1% surplus. Subsoil moisture levels rated 52% short to very short, 47% adequate, and 1% surplus. 97% of the corn crop has reached the dense stage or beyond, 5 days behind the five-year average. 73% of corn had reached maturity, 6 days behind last year and 3 days behind average. 6% of the corn crop for grain has been harvested, nearly 2 weeks behind average. Moisture content of field corn being harvested was at 23%. Corn condition improved slightly to 60% good to excellent. 97% of soybeans were turning color or beyond, 3 days ahead of last year and 4 days ahead of average. 84% of soybeans were dropping leaves, 4 days ahead of average. 16% of the soybean crop has been harvested, 1 day behind last year and 3 days behind average. Soybean condition also improved slightly with 61% good to excellent. Pasture condition improved slightly to 22% good to excellent. Rain this past week prompted pastures to regrow and green up. No livestock comments were received. That is the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending October 1st, 2017. I am Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Dry weather continued across Illinois last week, and temperatures remained above average as well. Some rainfall was reported in northern and western portions of the state, but only small amounts. The state average rainfall was 2/100ths of an inch last week, nearly 3/4 of an inch below normal, and temperatures ranged from 4 to 5 degrees above normal around the prairie state. Topsoil moisture levels declined and are now rated 36% very short, 48% short, and 16% adequate. Soybean harvest advanced by 21 points last week and is now 30% complete, compared to 15% 1 year ago and 21% for the 5-year average. Soybeans were dropping leaves on 80% of acres, compared to 78% normally. The condition of the crop was rated 14% very poor to poor, 27% fair, and 59% in good to excellent condition. Corn harvest reached 21% finished by Sunday last week. That compares to 40% 1 year ago and 38% for the 5-year average. 73% of corn acres are mature, compared to 89% normally. The condition of the corn crop was reported as 14% very poor to poor, 28% fair, and 58% of acres are in good to excellent condition. Pasture conditions were rated 52% very poor to poor, 35% fair, and 13% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, reminding all farmers and ranchers that the Census of Agriculture is coming this December.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Damp field conditions throughout much Minnesota left soybean harvest progress 10 days behind the 5-year average at the close of the week. Nearly all of the corn for grain crop had reached the dense stage. 55% had reached maturity. That's 1 week behind average. Corn for grain harvest was just getting started. Corn harvested for silage was 77% complete. That's 6 days behind average. Corn condition was unchanged with 81% good to excellent. 97% of the soybean crop was turning color with 82% dropping leaves. Soybeans were 13% harvested. The soybean condition was unchanged with 71% rated good to excellent. Potato harvest was 70% complete and sugar beets were 17% lifted. That's 3 days behind last year and average. Sugar beet condition was unchanged with 89% rated good to excellent. Pasture condition improved slightly to 55% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Janice Pressberry with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service. Soybeans have been the main focus of early harvest. Shattering is becoming a problem with decreased moisture levels. There have been reports of combine fires and farmers using different methods to reduce shattering of soybean crops. Effects of southern rust in corn where fungicides weren't applied became apparent during harvest. Dry weather has taken a toll on pastures. Corn was 69% matured compared to 85% last year and 79% 5-year average. Corn was 16% harvested compared to 23% last year and 23% 5-year average. Corn rating in good to excellent condition was 54% in the north, 49% in central, and 63% in the south. Soybeans were 81% dropping leaves compared to 80% last year and 84% 5-year average. Soybeans were 24% harvested compared to 14% last year and 20% 5-year average. Soybeans rated in good to excellent condition were 57% in the north, 51% in central, and 54% in the south. Winter wheat was 11% planted compared to 11% last year and 13% 5-year average. Tomato harvest is near completion, as well as second crop cucumbers. Major gullies from spring rain are becoming visible with harvest. Other activities for the week included fall tillage, planting cover crops, preparing and repairing harvest equipment, and hauling grain. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending October 1st, 2017. This is Janice Pressberry reporting.
Our thanks go, of course, to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. Now let's turn our attention to not the cash grain side of the market, but the agricultural energies. Once a month, Harry Cooney from GrowMark joins us to take up this topic. He's here now. Hey, Harry, thanks for being with us for the day.
Well, thank you, Todd, on this somewhat cloudy afternoon. Well,
it's cloudy, but producers are moving along quickly, and I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that you've been watching, I'm sure. Gas and diesel prices and action there.
Well, that's right. We've had quite a bit of action. In fact, seasonally, the liquid fuel market would sell off in the month of September. However, this year, we actually reversed that seasonal course and actually rallied into the end of September and now have sold off for several sessions. Gasoline actually leading the way down here in the past four or five or six sessions. And from here on into October now, into the month, we're in the new month here already. So there is a seasonal here, just a short seasonal tendency to have a rally into about mid-October in liquid fuels, but then that rally doesn't last very long either, and then it sells back off into the month of November. So kind of in waves here. The seasonal kind of is in waves and kind of spends 15 to 20 days going in one direction, then 15 to 20 in the other. So that's kind of the roadmap as we look ahead throughout the rest of this month and into the month of November.
Is there an easy explanation for the downturn in the market, meaning capacity coming back on board in the Houston area?
I think that's part of it, but I think also the market just got overdone on the upside. The market had rallied quite a bit from the mid-August lows. In fact, when you look at like gasoline, it had rallied over 20 cents on the upside. Plus, there were some refinery problems here in the Midwest, not hurricane related, but also taking some downtime and getting retooled here for the coming heating season. So there have been several reasons for that upswing when some of us, including myself, really didn't anticipate it there.
Has the cost of money been playing into it?
Well, the cost of money is interesting because when you look at interest rates help drive the dollar. And since about early to mid-September, the interest rate market has actually been slowly increasing, which tends to help the dollar rally. And the dollar has rallied a little bit. Now we're going to have to be watching as we go throughout the rest of the fall to see if this dollar will continue to rally. If it will, that tends to be a little negative to commodities, including energies.
And finally, we better check on stocks of diesel, propane, some of those other things, as we're probably into a heavy usage time frame.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And diesel stocks were more on the upper end of the historical range throughout mid-year. But just recently here in the past couple, 3 weeks, the diesel stocks coming down. We got far enough diesel stocks to get through harvest. We'll be just fine. We're not going to run out of diesel. But they have started to come down more in the middle to the lower half of the historical range. So after spending quite a few months, almost a couple of years in the upper half, they're starting to come down more into the lower half of the historical range. Propane stocks adequate also, well below what they were a year ago, but still adequate compared to history.
Hey, Harry, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark. You're listening to the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day is here. He's from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, you had some white stuff. Is that true yesterday?
Yeah, certainly. Fall has really come in full force across the northwest and north central areas of the United States. Some record snows yesterday in Montana. In Colorado, portions of the mountains in northern Colorado and southern Wyoming saw upwards of almost 2 feet of new snow, and it's only October 3rd. Some of that colder weather is going to spill eastward over the next few days. We don't see anything that's going to be terribly cold for the Midwest and the Corn Belt, but there's some coolness coming.
Does that coolness come along with the precipitation? Because cold, wet rains are always a little bit dreary.
Yeah, well, there's going to be some rain. I do think that at least with this first initial surge of cooler air coming in here later this week, the shower and thunderstorm coverage is going to cover most of the central and western Corn Belt. We don't see anything really heavy or settling in for long. But then another system will be coming in early next week, right around Monday, Tuesday. That'll bring another shot of cooler weather and more shower activity. We don't see anything settling in just yet that will get us into a prolonged spell of cool and wet, but two episodes of cooler conditions and shower activity will come late this week and again early next week.
And how much rainfall do you think with each of those and how widespread?
Well, I think coverage probably be 50 to 70%. Rainfall amounts, at least at this moment, aren't looking excessive, but half to three quarters of an inch is probably going to be the top end with both systems, with most areas a quarter to a half.
Anything of concern after we get past that, so something past the 12th or 13th?
Well, we're just getting deeper and deeper into fall. I see the second system coming early next week as being the one that's going to probably have the cooler air with it. And then as we look right around near the 20th and after, I expect a bit of a stronger front. But a lot of the trends we've seen so far this early fall season of the coldest, wettest weather in the west and northwest, driest and warmest in the central part of the nation will probably continue, but there's going to be some interruptions of these frontal systems coming on through.
Hey, thanks so much, Don.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Don Day. He's with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Do check out our weather forecast when you get the opportunity on our website. I believe we have five of the best agricultural meteorologists in the business, and their thoughts are posted to our website each and every day. Go to willag.org and look for the link to Will Ag Weather. You'll find the weather forecast there not long after it airs on our radio stations right here during the closing market report. You can find all the rest of our programming, too. Again, you could do that at willag.org. Take time to take care of yourself during this harvest season. Make sure you get plenty of rest. That means, yes, take a nap in the afternoon. It's okay to close your eyes. Because why? You can always come back and get the closing market report later. The other thing is that if you're on the byways and you're just out and about driving, watch out for those farmers. They'll be in the combines and the tractors and those great big trucks. Don't tangle with them because you'll lose. They do move very slowly and they do make left-hand turns. Usually the hazard lights are on. Watch those hazard lights because you will see them change from hazard to a left-hand turn, and it's really dangerous to run into them from the backside. That's the end of this edition of the Closing Market Report. Have a great afternoon. For a Tuesday, I'm Todd Gleason.